Our hands. We may stand on our feet, please. I just want you to open your mouth and confess your sins before God. The Bible says if you say you have no sin, the truth is not in you. But if you confess your sins, it's faithful to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Tell God you are sorry for the bad things. Open your mouth. Don't pray in tongues. And pray to God. Confess your sins of lying, fornication, pride, jealousy, envy, greed, coming to church with wrong intention, you know, holding leadership position and you are unproductive, not listening to God. Not accepting responsibility in church. All these are sins. Stubbornness to your daddy. Disobey your daddy. Disobey your mommy. These are all sin. And God will not bless sin. Impure thoughts. Wickedness. Not reading your Bible is a sin. Not praying is a sin. Not supporting the work of God is a great sin. Not paying your tithe. Your pledges, your offering, being selfish towards God. Doubting God is a sin. When you doubt God, it's a sin. When you have doubt in your heart, it's a sin. Unbelief is a sin. Faithlessness is a sin. Ask the Lord to cleanse you with the blood of his son. Ask Jesus to come into your heart if you don't know him. If you only go to church and Jesus is not in your heart, ask Jesus to come in today. To cleanse your heart and make you whole. Ask Jesus to come into your heart if you don't really know Jesus. Going to church is not Christianity. Knowing Jesus, experiencing Jesus is Christianity. In Jesus' name. Father, lift up your hands. Both hands, lift them up. Lift up your hands. Lift up both hands. If you have two hands, lift them up. Sometimes say, Father, I lift up my hands in absolute submission to your will, to your way, to your spirit. I am guilty. I'm sorry for all my sin. I repent. With the blood of Jesus, cleanse me. Make me whole. Your word says, you do not condemn me. If I confess my sins, you are willing to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord, every sin I have confessed, the one I cannot remember, every sin I committed, knowingly or unknowingly, please kindly forgive me. Wash my mind with the blood of your son. Cleanse my conscience from dead works. Jesus, I choose to live for you. I choose to die for you. Give me the grace. Give me the grace. I choose to live for you. I choose to live for you. I accept you. I accept your ways. You are my Lord and Savior. Interact more with me. Enable me to dwell on your word. Jesus, I am hungry for more of God. Oh, Father, help me to dwell on your word. Help me to know you more. Satan, I reject you. Your plan for my life. Your plan for my life. And for my household shall not prosper, shall not prosper, shall not prosper, shall not prosper. Your plan for my life and for my household shall not prosper in the name of Jesus. Jesus, I turn my life over to you. I turn my life over to you. I turn over all my challenges, all my issues. Oh God, take me over. Take me over. I turn my life over to you. I turn my life over to you. Jesus, take me over. Walk on me. Walk through me. Walk in me. Let your light glow in me. Let me carry your presence every day of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We continue. We started with love. You may be seated, please. We started looking at love a couple of weeks, 2 weeks ago. Today we're trying to round up, hopefully. I declared to us that if you say you love God, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my what? Commandments. So if you don't keep the commandments of God, you cannot say you love God. The proof of your love for God is you keeping the commandments of God, obeying the laws of God. And a lot of people who cannot love their wives, love their neighbors, or love themselves, is a result of their inability to love God. Because as you keep the laws of God, as you love God, the grace to love your neighbor will be deposited in you, and you find yourself being able to love people. So, if you have a problem loving people with the love of God, I don't mean feeling, you know, loving people with erotic love or all that kind of. I mean the love that passes all understanding. The love, even when somebody offends you, you forgive them and you move forward. If you do not love God, you will not be able to love your neighbor genuinely. That's why there's a lot of fake love going on. People say, I love you, I love you. They buy car for the girl, they buy houses, they do all kinds of things. 3-4 years down the road, they break up. That's not love. That's just feelings. But when you love God, you don't need to. You're giving things to somebody. It's not a genuine proof of your love for that person. Your genuine proof of your love for that person is even when that person messes up, you are still standing by and lifting up that person without condemnation, lifting them up to God. Amen? That is a God kind of love. You and I, we have messed up. We have blown it many times. Probably you have not. I have. But whenever I go back to God, I pray and confess, I can perceive, feel His overwhelming love overshadowing my life. That's the God kind of love we are talking about. If you are not able to love God, then you are not going to be able to love your neighbor. If you don't love God, you will not be able to love your neighbor. If you don't love God, you are not able to love your neighbor. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. When the lawyer asked Jesus, the lawyer asked him, which is the greatest commandment? Jesus Christ told him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That means you should love your neighbor with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Hallelujah. Loving God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Then loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Praise the Lord. That is the God kind of love we are talking about. When you are able to love God, then you are able to love your neighbor. How can we practice love? You can pray and say, God, give me love. It's not going to work. God might set up your mind a little bit. It's not going to work. Because why? Just like faith, we were all saved by God, the Holy Ghost, giving us a measure of faith. And you now feed on the word of God and grow that faith. Same way, the Holy Ghost has already deposited the love of God in your heart. Romans 5:5. Let's go to Romans 5:5. The book of Romans 5:5. Are we all there? Romans 5:5 says, let's read together. Now, hope again. Let's start again. Hope now, hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been what? Poured out in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who was given to us. Now, let's read again. Now hope does not what? Because the love of God. Good. So, is the love of God already in your heart? Is the love of God already in your heart? Okay, let me ask this question. How many of us are born again here? Okay. You are sure if I kill all of you now, you die, you are going to make heaven? Are you sure? It's between you and your God. I am sure of myself. You cannot become born again without the intervention of the Holy Ghost. Before you become born again, the Holy Ghost is with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. Now, when you become born again, the Holy Ghost is in you, already in you. And once the Holy Ghost comes in you, it gives you all the gifts necessary for you to succeed as a Christian. It deposits faith. It pours love. He didn't just give us love. He poured it. How many of us know what pouring means? When you pour something, do you do it gently? Are you doing it nice? No. You just pour it because you have abundance of it. So the Holy Ghost has poured abundance of God's love in our hearts. So how do we now live in love? We have to what? Groom it. Amen? You say you love God. Thank God for that. How do you show that you love God? By keeping His commandments. As you dwell on His word, then you will know one of it is supposed to be love your neighbor as yourself. Forgive. Tell the truth. Be honest in your deeds. As you walk, as you obey the law of God, the love of God becomes more manifest in your life. As you obey the laws of God, study the word of God, you begin to interact with more of God, and more of God become deposited in your life. Then the way you look at life will begin to change. The way you look at life will begin to what? Change. Your perception of love will change. Giving will change. The way you interact with people will change. Why? Because it's been spiced by God, the love of God that has been poured abroad in your heart. Praise the Lord. God loves you. He has poured His love in your hearts. As you feed on the word of God and the love of God in your heart increases, hatred and all the property of the devil will begin to disappear, because two masters cannot coexist in an entity. The Bible says, resist the devil. What will happen to you? You will flee away. So as the love of God increases in your heart, darkness will begin to leave your life. Amen? Darkness will begin to leave your life, and more of God will begin to be deposited in you. It doesn't mean you'll be perfect automatically, no. But it's something you do one day at a time. Amen? You try to love, and somebody that has offended you comes to your mind. Immediately bitterness comes in. I taught us what to do. What should you do for that person? You pray for that person. As you pray, the pain will begin to go down little by little, little by little. And when the enemy tries to make you not to love that person, you tell the devil, I commit sin, God forgives me, and God expects me to forgive my neighbor. So Satan, you cannot make me hate that person. Father, bless so-and-so. Let that person come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Let that person know that I'm forgiving him or her. You walk in love. Is that clear? So it's warfare. You pray, you read the Bible, you pray, and you live in love. A lot of people say they walk in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? Eh? I remember a man of God. He was tired, and he was going to preach. And he sat on a chair. As he sat on the chair, he just took off and started sleeping. Your pastor has been sleeping sometime here. Why are you looking at me? If I'm not the one preaching, you know you're tired. So they were praying, and they thought the man was in the Spirit. They don't know that the guy's body was just tired. You don't just go in. How do you live in the Spirit? You live in the Spirit by walking in love. How do you walk in love? You walk in love by obeying the laws of God, by abiding in Jesus, and Jesus abiding in you. How does Jesus abide in you? You spend more time on the word of God. You come to know more about God, more about Jesus, how you ought to live your life, and you apply it in your life. And as you do, the power of God will take your life over. Praise the Lord. God's a good God. The power of God will take your life over. Let's look at John chapter 15. I I hope the word of God is going deep in your heart. And your mind is not busy doing other things. If you allow your mind to get busy doing other things, you are a big fool. A big one. Because the word that will set you free is coming up. And you are entertaining carnality and distraction. Get out from evil and serve God so that God can bless you. Amen? God's a good God. I love you with all my heart. If I don't love you, I won't tell you the truth. But if I cannot tell you the truth, I cannot be your pastor. Is that clear? I love to tell the truth. Let's look at John chapter 15 from verse 1. It says, I am the vine. I'm the true vine. My father is the what? The vine dresser. Okay, I'll stop here for now. Hold on. Look at me. Jesus is the tree. Amen? We are the branches. The branch is supposed to bear the fruits. If the branch is not properly attached to the tree, that branch will wither and die away. Is this clear to us? So, you must be abiding in Jesus. Let's continue. Verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. What do we have there? Is it fruit or fruits? What do you have there? What do you have there? Fruit. Good. And without me, ye can do nothing. Verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is what? Cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will do what? What will you do? You will ask what you desire and it will be what? Done unto you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Praise the Lord. So, how do you bear fruits? What is fruits? Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now, just as abiding in Jesus caused fruit to be produced, also abiding in the flesh also causes fruit to be produced. Let's look at the fruit of the flesh. Verse 19. It said, now, listen. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. Sorcery is the same thing as witchcraft. Hatred, contentions, that is quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, that as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not what? Inherit the kingdom of God. So if you practice any of these things, you will not what? Inherit the kingdom of God. All these are the works of the flesh. They are what? The works of the flesh. And when the works of the flesh is in your life, the demons and the powers of hell will have a nice day. They will give you bad dreams. They will torment you. They will scatter homes. They will take away your job. They can do anything. All these are the works of the flesh because the devil operates in the flesh. When the works of flesh operate in people's lives, that's where there's the need for deliverance most of the time. But when you abide in Jesus, like we saw in John chapter 15, verse 7 and 8, he said, if you abide, you will ask anything. In my name, it shall be done what? Done unto you, and therein will my Father be glorified. God will be glorified in your life when the word of God dwells in you. But Satan will be glorified in your life when the work of flesh is in your life. And when the work of flesh is in your life, you cannot dare say you love God. Because loving God is keeping his law. But when the love of God is in your life, this is what will happen. Look, go to verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit. How many fruits? He said fruit. Did he say fruits? Did he say fruits? Like the passage we read in John. He said, you shall what? Bear fruits. It didn't say fruits. Now, what causes this fruit to be delivered? What causes you to bear fruit? It is the word of God abiding in you and you walking in holiness. And the first manifestation of the fruit that will happen in your life is what? Love. What's the next one? What's the next? The next? What's the next one? 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 Against such there is no law. So use this to assess yourself. If these things are not manifesting in your life, then you have need to ask God to help you to get rid of any of those aspects that may not be manifesting yet. Amen? Now, what is walking in the Spirit? Walking in the Spirit is walking in the fruit of the Spirit. If you say you are holding an orange, then if I say, give me some orange juice, what will you do? You will squeeze that ball of orange and the juice will come out. So if you say you are walking in the Spirit and that is the fruit of the Spirit, then the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, faithfulness, all these things must be manifested in your life. Walking in the Spirit is not praying in tongues. It's not fasting 100 days in a week. It's not walking in the Spirit. It's allowing the fruit of the Spirit, which we read, to be shown off in your life. Hallelujah. If I ask before now, how do you walk in the Spirit? I will have all kinds of answers. No. So, if you abide in Jesus, you bear the fruit. And what fruit? The fruit of the Spirit. If you say you love God, then you must walk in the Spirit. What is this fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, long-suffering, patience. All of this. Hallelujah. Walking in God, walking in love, is most important. It will give peace to your life. It will bring healing. It will remove the hand of the devil from your life. It will remove short life. You know, premature death will be cut off. Poverty will be removed. Peace of mind, healing, deliverance. Your children will have a bright future. Everything about you that is in you will be manifesting in the life of your children. Because they see you living love. They see the glory of God manifesting in your life. They see you walking in the Spirit. They see you telling the truth. They see you doing the right thing. God's a good God. I say your God is a good God. So walking in love is walking in the Spirit. Walking in love is walking in the Spirit. You cannot walk in love without joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness. All that's enumerated there. Hallelujah. So let this be the parameter. Let this be your gauge from today. How you assess whether you love God or not. To show that you love God, don't forget that God is a spirit. And they that will worship him will do what? We worship him in spirit and in truth. So if you say you love God, that means you say you are walking the Spirit. If you say you are walking the Spirit, then you must manifest the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. You cannot manifest love without manifesting joy, peace, faithfulness, long life. Long suffering. All the fruit of the Spirit must be manifested in you. Praise the Lord. Love is the greatest. What did I say? Love is the greatest. Jesus Christ said, this is the great law. Loving God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Faith is less than love. Why? Because faith works by love. Amen? It is the lesser, it is the higher that blesses the senior. You cannot say you have faith and you don't have love. A whole lot of reasons why people pray and their answers, they don't get answers because their love life in God is below par. You need to step up your love life for God. When you step up your love life, then your faith can work properly. Amen? Also, hope. Faith cannot work without hope. Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the evidence of the things we hope for.
If you do not hope for anything, then your faith has nothing to manifest. Your faith has nothing to bring forth to you. And even though you hope in something, and you say you have faith, you don't have love, your faith will not work. In other words, your faith cannot work without hope and love. Hope is the blueprint. Faith is the evidence that what you hope for will come to pass. Exactly. I hope it's going to be so. And it's already a blueprint. To make that hope come to pass, you apply your faith. Now, if you apply your faith, it didn't work, then check your love life. Because faith cannot work without love. Are you hearing this? Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. It says, faith without works. Your faith must work by love. In other words, if there is no love in your life, your faith will not work. I taught us a couple of weeks ago that faith without works is what? Dead. So in other words, faith needs three important components for it to work. Number one is what? Love. The next one is hope. And the next one is what? Work. Amen? You must match your faith with works. Faith is the greatest of them all. If you have faith, then you can walk in the spirits. Then your faith will function properly. If you have hope and you have faith, you say, and you don't have love, your work, your faith will fail. If you have love, you have hope, and you have faith, and you do not match your faith with works, you will not get the expected results. Did you catch that? So, faith needs three other ingredients for it to work. Major. There are many more things. Another one, if sin is in your life, your faith will not work. But what I'm stressing now is, you need love, you need hope, and you need work to make your faith work. But love, you don't need anything for it to work. You just need love. Amen? And the manifestation of your love for God is you obeying the laws of God. In other words, the laws of God is the love of God. As you obey these laws of God, the love of God will become manifested in your life. Did we catch this teaching? Love is the most important thing. Love is like a string put from one wall to the other. Love is a string. The promises of God, your blessings, your healing, your deliverance, your marriage, your prosperity, they are all hanging on the love line. So if your love line is not strong, if it's wobbly, whatever you are hanging there will fall. Try it when you get home. Get a string. Tighten it very well. Put your clothes. It will stay. Then loosen it. Let it relax. And put your clothes. What will happen? Everything will be unstable. That's how it is. So tighten your love life. Tighten your love rope today. How do you do that? Jesus Christ made it clear in John chapter 20 verse 14. If you love me, what did he say you should do? Keep my commandments. So keeping the commandments of God tightens your love life and shows forth your love for God. Stand on your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I, as a pastor, I interact with a whole lot of people. The good, the bad, and the ugly, and the best. And if some people, you don't want to talk to them. Because even though they come to you, thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. How many of us know here that when you stand before your pastor, if you have an intention in your heart and your mouth is saying something else, how many of us know that your pastor will know? You don't know? God help you. That's what we call the gifts of the Spirit. The word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and the word of what? Discernment. So when people stand before me and they are saying one thing with their mouth and their heart, they say something else, I already know what is in their heart. Why did God do that? To help the people to tell them the truth. Is that clear? When you tell people the truth, it might help them to remember to do the right thing. Amen? So when you stand before a genuine man of God, for your own sake, be honest to yourself. Don't make the man of God curse you, because you might be an agent of the devil sent to cause a distraction. Is that clear? And the man of God has the right to pull uproot from the household of God anything that causes obstruction. Amen? If I know of anyone here that's giving us trouble, I will uproot you out. I won't talk to you. I just know what to do. Anyone that comes here, come with the right intention to serve God. Not to pursue women or pursue boys or pursue girls. And I'll be very confrontational about it. Don't be a distraction in people serving God. Amen? Here, we serve God with all seriousness. So when you come here, serve God with all intention, not to come here to pursue boys or pursue girls. If you want marriage, pray God will lead you to the right life partner. Amen? Am I to a sign to say you shouldn't talk to people? No. Please, make sure you live in holiness so that the blessings of God will reach you. God's a good God. God's a good God. You still love me? Well, you have no choice. You have no choice. I love you too. I have no choice. Actually, I have a choice. My choice is to keep loving you. Hallelujah. Just lift up your hands as we round up. Lift up your hands and confess along with me. Say, Father, I love you. Help me to show my love for you by keeping your laws. Jesus, I mean well. Help my weaknesses. I do believe you. Help my unbelief. Lord, I choose to live a holy life for you. Give me the grace to do so. Lord, above everything else, I want to make heaven. Help me, O God, to make heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God is a good God. You may be seated. We're going to take our time. Pray for some people. And they say continue to do what they are doing. You pray for some people. You counsel them. They keep doing what they are doing. The Lord has enabled me to understand, also by experience, that we all have a choice. Is that clear? You know what is right. You can choose to do the right thing or the wrong thing. Like children, boys and girls who give their father and their mother trouble at home. They cause confusion in their father and their mother's marriages. You know, they know what they are doing. They know that what they are doing is wrong. And they know that what the children are doing, that is inconveniencing their father and their mother. You know, what should you do for such a child? You pray for them. Is that clear? The father and the mother should join their hands and bind the demon of that destruction out of that life. Amen? Also, your child, listen, your child, your daughter, your son is your responsibility to bring up. You should never allow a hawk to come and steal away your child from your family. Is that clear? You understand? I have an only daughter. My daughter can never marry an unbeliever. My daughter must marry somebody that is born again, spirit-filled, and tongue-talking. And my daughter will not marry a thief. A thief is somebody who does not pay tithe. That's what the Bible says. My sons will never marry a woman who is not born again. Not when I'm alive. Even when I'm dead, my spirit will rise. Why? You know why? My wife and I have labored so much all our lives for a hawk to just come and take away your child. It's impossible. Is that clear? Amen? Either the person dies or the person will... Something has to happen. I am so aggressive about it. Is that clear? So your children, you know why I'm stressing this. When your children become... When they have wrong contact, they disturb your spirit in your home. You know that. If your daughter is married to a wrong person or befriending a wrong person, or your son is befriending a wrong girl, and you are a man of God, how do you feel at home? Your spirit is disturbed. You can't do your job. And you feel like doing something. You know the kind of thing I'm talking about. Anything. And also, we always counsel our children, the best place to start is when they are young. Is that clear? That's what we did with our children. That's why, by the grace of God today, our children are intact. And I trust my children, and I trust God that they will not go astray. I also trust God for your children too. Amen? It's very important. I'm stressing this. Because your family can be happy. The devil will look for one way to cause trouble. To remove holiness. To cause dissension. You are busy praying. The Holy Ghost is flashing you. Your son is doing something funny. Your son is doing something funny. One day my first son Joshua, I will tell him I'm going to embarrass him. He gets his allowance and he didn't pay his tithe. How much is the tithe? $5. So, it's not that he didn't want to pay it, but he always tell his brother to take it and keep. You know, children, they just take it carelessly. So one day we sat down, we're praying. and I found that his own grass was brown. I started praying to God, God, why is my son's grass brown? The Holy Ghost told me he didn't pay his tithe. How much? $5. I yelled at my son while we're praying. I said, Daddy, I told so and so to pay it. I don't want to mess up the other one's name. I didn't pay it. And as soon as that tithe was paid, his grass became green. Is that clear? Don't allow the devil in your home. Is that clear? Don't allow the devil in your home. Anything that looks like a devil is a devil. Anything that looks like a devil is what? A devil. If it smells like a fish, what is it? What should you do? Praise the Lord. Enough of that. God wants to prosper you. God wants you to excel. God wants to touch your future. God wants to put joy in your life. God wants to resurrect you from poverty to wealth. God wants to remove darkness from your life so that the light of God can come in. God wants to cause you that wherever you go, the favor of God will go with you. God wants to enter into your life more so that even when enemies are gathered about you, when they see you, they begin to shake. God wants to bring healing in your body. God wants to bring restoration in your marriage, in your home. God wants to bless you, give you a job, give you success. But this only comes by loving God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And how do you do that? I repeat, by keeping the laws of God. John chapter 14, verse 20 and 21. Stand on your feet.